Welcome to Women's World Show with me, Clara Chizoba Kronborg. Joining me today from Lagos, Nigeria, is a fashion designer, the CEO of 2207 T Bali. I am looking so much forward to dive deep to get to know her journey. Stay tuned as we really get to know all these juicy stories about Tolu Bali. Welcome to the show. Tolu, it's so nice to finally track you down.
Thank you very much, Clara. It's a pleasure to finally get to see you and talk to you.
Same here. Well, you know, what a brand you have built for yourself. It's like no celebrity walks out without wearing Tolu T Bali Couture. I see it everywhere and it's really got my curiosity. Who is this lady? What is this? Yeah, I have to make my research and I start digging. And I've seen so many things, but I really want to know, where did it all start?
Okay, my name is Tolu Bali. I was born in Nigeria, but I grew up in London, the United Kingdom. I did my A-levels and my uni in London. And I'm a qualified psychologist. So I actually transitioned from being a psychologist to being a fashion designer. And that's because of my flair for fashion. All my life, I've always worked in the fashion industry. I've worked in different big brands, fashion brands in the UK before I moved to Nigeria. So the only thing I literally know is fashion, nothing more than that.
Wow.
So how did I start 2207? Before I started 2207, I used to be like a retailer because I used to work in like a brand, with a fashion brand. So at the end of the month, I would gather whatever money I have on me, buy different nice accessories and clothes and sell to friends and family. Then anytime I come home to Nigeria on holiday, I don't go back with my clothes. So I knew people liked what I wear, people liked me. And they liked wherever I was represented in terms of fashion.
Yeah.
Fashion. So I decided to make it a career. And I love it. To me, fashion is passion. Fashion is love. I breathe fashion. I eat fashion. I love fashion. Everything about me is just fashion. So while I was doing my NY, okay, I came home to do my NYSC in Nigeria. And I decided to open a very small store to start selling clothes to people. So that was it. Yeah. So I did that for a minute, for like a couple of months, going to the relationship, got pregnant, went back to the UK to give birth to my child. And obviously life happened, I became a single mom.
Yeah.
And that was when reality actually stuck, that I needed to do more than just being a fashion retailer. I was more thirsty for a bigger brand, more thirsty for a legacy to leave for my child, and more thirsty for a better work than just reselling people's product. I would say it was the birth of my child that gave birth to my child, 2207. That gave birth to the initiative behind 2207.
Wow. Okay. The thirst to, you know, leave a legacy for your son and show a footstep. But at the same time, it's really a transition from a psychology to being a psychologist to being a fashion mogul that you are today, a brand that is really representing very well. But it must really be challenging in as much as, you know, people, you are where you are today. What was it like the first time? Were you, even though people loved what you, you know, whatever you sell, was it challenging for you in the beginning to start 2207 or T Bali? By the way, which is it? 2207 or T Bali Couture?
Okay, so the name of the brand is called 2207 by T Bali. That's my ready-to-wear brand.
Right.
So along the line, we decided to create something more different for red carpet because most of our clients wanted more. So that was why we birthed T Bali Couture. So I think most people wear 2207 by T Bali. That's more the ready to wear line. But what you see on the red carpet is like the Tolu Bali brand, like the Tolu Bali Couture brand.
That I get, yes. Okay. So what was the challenge starting 2207, you know, after you gave birth to your child, because you were retailing and now you wanted to make it a whole brand? What was the challenge? Did you face through, you know, a little struggle of trying to really get to be identified in the industry or get to be seen or heard?
At the initial stage of my career, I had the I knew what I wanted to do. I've always known I'm going to be very, like, now I'm not even there yet. I've always known, I've always had the vision of where I want to be in terms of fashion. So at the beginning of the career, I wasn't really thinking about the challenges I was going to face. It was more about the best in me, that to be accepted by the community and for the brand to be accepted. So I'm going to say here, my brand didn't have a structure when we first started because I wasn't thinking it was going to get to where we are. Right? I knew it was going to get there. I just didn't know how long it was going to get there. My point was just to start doing it, to start doing what I loved. Wow. So at the beginning, I spoke, my mom is a fashion designer, so I actually, and I didn't have any knowledge about fashion apart from being creative at the beginning of my career. So it was a little bit, I made a couple of mistakes. I made loads of mistakes because obviously when you hire tailors and you don't have the expertise, they make what they can make. And you just believe because it sits well on the client, it sits well on you, that's perfection. So I actually learned of the job and eventually went to a fashion school when I started. But the initial stage, it was more about accepting what my tutors were giving me and giving them to clients. So there were so many faults, so many mistakes, so many times where I woke up in the morning, I'm like, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore. I've got this complaint from somewhere. So I just took each complaint as a disaster. I took it like, oh, that's the end of my career. So a customer should complain rather than me accepting it and working on it. Was more like they were attacking me. And I'll be like, okay, this is not for me. This is not for me. I need to do something better. I don't like when people complain. I'm a perfectionist. I wanted perfection. I wanted people to be happy. So I wasn't really happy with the fact that I wasn't taking any complaints very. So along the line, I realized my mistake. Okay, so you need to go to fashion school. You need to learn about this so you'll be able to cover all the successes and be able to figure out the fault before giving them to the client. So that was the first challenge. And the second one was juggling between being a single mom and also my work as well. Because I had to take my son to school. I need to make sure that he has food on his table. I need to have my own social life. I'm a social butterfly as well. And I need to also make sure that my work is good as well. People love what they're buying from me. So juggling everything without a manual, without me thinking about it, that, oh, how am I going to do it? Because I didn't have a manual. I just started. Let me just start making clothes. And immediately we were accepted. So I think it was first about the creativity behind the brand. Yes, before the person in me came out, that, okay, this is the person that owns the brand. Because I was faceless at the point. And later on, my work spoke for me and people know more about me and that they could really
connect the two brands. Yes. Wow. What an amazing story. Makes sense. Your mom was or is still a fashion designer.
Yeah. My mom is a fashion designer and she's like my go-to person. Anytime I'm stuck and I can't make a particular design, like I'll call her to explain or to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So, and she told me, this is how you should do it. Cut it this way, do it this way. I mean, she does that in the traditional way, but she's my mentor. And my sister-in-law too, she's a fashion designer. My dad was a fashion designer. So he basically runs in the family.
That's really amazing. And I love the fact that you accepted the challenge of, even though, you know, when people kind of criticize your work and you feel, ooh, they're attacking me. And then you finally find out what to do and send yourself back to fashion school. That's really something that a lot of young girls can resonate with in terms of how you can, you know, okay, I need to up my skills. I need to understand what is, I have the passion, but there is something missing. You need to be able to identify that. And really, I want to know more about you, but we will continue that right after this break. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the challenges you've had and how you have managed to sustain and be where you are today. But, okay, actually, I'm very curious. Who was the first celebrity or A-list person or top person that wore your brand and you felt, I've arrived, this is it, you know, I've made it? Did you even feel that? Was there a feeling like that?
Okay, there's a short story about that basically. The first person to ever wear 2207 as a celebrity is a lady called Toyi Abraham. I'm
sure you know her. Of course. Yes.
So Toyi is not really like a fashion savvy person. She doesn't really care so much about fashion then. So we had spoken and we're like, you know what, let's do something for AMVCA. AMPC is like one of the biggest award shows in Nigeria. So we decided to go from 0 to 100 to change our look totally. So So I said to Toyi, do you trust me? She said, yes. I said, then leave everything to me. Just come with your beautiful self and let me trust you.
Oh.
So on the day of the event, Toyi saw our dress and she was like, Toyi, who's wearing this? I'm like, she was already getting the adrenaline rush that, wow, Toyi. Eventually, when we put Toyi in the dress, it was an everybody was in tears. Aww. I was crying. Like, every time I think about it, I become so emotional. Aww. I was crying. Toyi was crying. Everyone around us were crying. Like, people didn't believe it was Toyi. She walked through the red carpet, and people were like, "Who is this girl?" Nobody knew it was Toyi. And Toyi was just like, "Hey, hi, it's me, Toyi." So, like, I've not even driven out of the hotel for like 2 minutes. She called me back. I said to her, you need to come back. Like, everyone, even my friends, they recognize me. It was a great moment. Not just because I was the one that, not just because I was the one that dressed to him. The fact that I had a very satisfied client, yes. And the whole internet was just moving helter-skelter. They were like, oh my God, every single Toyi. Toyi was like talk of the town throughout the week. The whole internet was just about her. A lot of blogs changed their DP to Toyin's picture. So that was something for
me. It is.
And for someone that was coming newly into the industry, it was a big deal. Big deal for Toyin because she went from wherever she was to like 100. And I was just a beginner. That girl that just came and held Toyin so beautifully. So that's like, till date, one of my highest points since I've started to 2007.
Oh, this is really beautiful. Bless her. And this is what we talk about when another person, it's like giving someone else chance to, another woman a chance to showcase what she can do. And like that, boom. Yeah, the question is like, who is that lady? Who did that? You know, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
But talking about fashion designs and all of that, I really want to take it down to the development of Africa. In your opinion, how do you think that we have grown Nigeria, basically the fashion industry in Nigeria?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I remember growing up, people didn't want to wear made in Nigeria. It wasn't like, oh, what are you wearing? Oh, is it made in Nigeria? No. It wasn't a thing then. Everybody wanted to wear Zara, Topshop, Selfridge, New Look. So you can be going to school and going to parties and you're dressed in Ankara or wearing the Nigerian dress. That means you're off totally. You're not part of the crew. So now you need to represent Nigeria. Everybody wants to wear Nigeria, buy Nigeria, and associate themselves with Nigerian brand. So it's definitely grown. And even aside from being a Nigerian and you selling as a Nigerian designer, 60% of my clients are actually not based in Nigeria. Like, I ship a lot out of the country than within Nigeria.
Okay.
So our client base is actually a lot out of the country. And then we have amazing designers in Africa as a whole, in Nigeria, in Ghana. So most of the early celebrities and celebrities from America, you see them wearing African attire. They want to wear the Kara, they want to wear the kente. Last year, if you're very familiar with the Nigerian fashion, I did an Ankara bow skirt. And I can tell you to date, that was one of our best sellers.
I remember one of best friend wears it. What's her name? Your best friend that looks like you, by the way. With this smile like yours. Yes, Linda Sifo.
Yes.
I think I saw it on her and I saw almost all the A-list wearing it as well. I've been seeing it, yes.
Everyone in Nigeria, coming from the biggest Nigerian artist to everyone, looked totally. Tiwa Savage, Linda, Toke, Iniedo. So name it, everybody loved the dress. So, and we actually shipped a lot out of Nigeria as well. Till today, we're still shipping. And the funniest part is that before we said Jack Robinson, it was already on Alibaba. People were already producing it. So coming from a Nigerian girl, from a Nigerian market, and then it's already saturated in China. They're taking our pictures, even using my client's picture to sell in America. So so you can tell the African fashion has gone beyond what it used to be before.
I agree. I totally agree. And it's loud everywhere. I'm so proud. By the way, I'm wearing a Nigerian design.
That's why we're loud.
Very loud. We are very loud and I love it. No. I love it. We need to be seen when we walk in. It needs to be seen. But I'm wearing a Nigeria, made in Nigeria. It's one of my girls that I empowered in Nigeria through the show here. In Lagos, she is doing amazing well now. She made this for a thank you when I was in Nigeria and she sent it to me. So I'm always proud to wear it, really. I wanted to actually ask you that question. What's the goal? What is it that you envisage? What is it that you really long for, you are hungry for? Yes.
Yes. So, good question, right? When people tell me, oh, Tolu, what does it take? Like I just mentioned, this is just like a starting point for me. I've gotten I would say that we've tried to get the trust of people, and we've tried to create a name. So now, how do we commercialize the business? How do we make it a legacy? When I'm in my 50s and my 40s, do I still want to be making good for one person, two people? The whole idea is to have a legacy. If you don't have a legacy, you need to think big. You need to think beyond you making 20 pieces, 30 pieces. How do you do that? You need to become an ambassador. You need to become a corner walker. You need to become a great feeling. So that's where we're going to. That's my dream.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm looking so much forward to see all that you have got to give us. Well, it's really been interesting, but I will take a break right now and we will be right back after this break. It has really been interesting with Tolu Bali. Well, I really can't help to ask this question because this is Women's Watch Show, and the girl child empowerment is obviously one of the ways to continue to put the continent forward. How can fashion entrepreneurs like yourself contribute to this effect?
Okay, I've been engaged in a lot of charity work, and when it comes to fashion as well, I'm trying to do an empowerment program where I come from in the States, where I'm going to give a lot of people, aspiring fashion designers, machines to work with. A lot of people have it in them, but not a lot of people have the opportunity. And we need to be able to give back to the society in terms of talent, in terms of creativity and marketing as well. Some are very, very, very talented, but they just don't know how to go about getting the right people to influence for their brand.
Right.
So the whole idea of Tolu Bali Empowerment Program for the child, or for the girl child, will be, and but mine is going to be based on fashion, basically, to all people that wants to grow in the fashion industry. I can't do it all. I need more people. I need to grow more people. I need people that I want people that they can point to me as one of their success stories. So it's to be able to enable, help those we can help financially, help those we can help in creativity, and help those we can help in terms of reaching the larger audience as well. And so that's my goal as for Tolu Bali's empowerment program.
This is amazing. Well, like I mentioned earlier, in Women's World Show here, we have Making of Entrepreneurs, and we travel around African countries for this, where we empower skilled African girls, like fashion designers, makeup artists. We've done with Dabota before in Lagos, and we did in Accra with the Global House, I think, is in Accra as well. And then we did in Kenya. It's been really very inspiring, you know, just giving out that startup that they need to say, okay, begin. It's not always easy, but they need the continuous push to say begin. And I'm so happy to hear that you're contributing to this effect. Maybe we'll reach out to you. Never know, we'll collaborate for it. It would be nice, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this year's break, International Women's Day is breaking the bias. And as the leading brand in Nigeria, how do you think women can implement the word women supporting women? How do we actively really do it? Women supporting women.
To be honest, I'm going to be very brutal about this. I think it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about women supporting women, women doing this, women. We live in a world whereby people talk more than they do. So as an individual, you need to do your best to empower whoever you want to empower, be it a man or a woman. I'm not a feminist. So I believe that your help shouldn't be restricted to women alone. If you can help a man reach his goal, do that. If you can help a woman reach her goal, do that as well. But in terms of women empowering women, yes, we should be able to do that, because the world is still, I mean, the sky is very big for everybody to fly. If you see yourself, if you see another woman that was doing whatever you're doing, and you think you can impact their life positively, yes, do it. We need women in the big seats of the country. We need women to occupy big spaces. We need women to be able to do more than staying in the kitchen and the other room. So yes, I believe we have to do that, but then it's an individual thing. It's what you believe in. If you believe in sharing love and giving, and also helping, making impact in people's life, it's not going to be a big deal for you to do that, that rather than talking more about it that we do on social media, I think people should actually practice it more.
That is really brutal.
I've seen a lot of women empowerment, and the next thing is, oh, yes, I empowered you, yeah, blah, 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 blah. The next thing, they're fighting on social media. So
tell me about it, but this is the brutal truth. Do it just by action, not by words or by hashtagging.
Exactly. Unless it be an individual, if it's in you, no one needs to tell you, empower your second woman, you empower your sister, your cousin, wherever it's there. If it's not in you, it's not in you. But like I said, I believe in helping and empowering anybody, be it a man, be it a woman, just do what you bring it out and don't restrict it to a certain gender. At the end of the day, the whole idea is for everybody to get to the top, whether you're a man or a woman, let's get there and make things happen.
I totally agree. Thank you so much for that. Well, I would love to continue. The conversation is really interesting, but I want to play a little game with you called This and That. You know that, this or that. So let's say, in this way, I'll get to know you more personally. Eh? Love or money?
Okay. Oops. Can I choose two?
You have to choose two. You have to choose one.
That's a very dicey question coming from after Valentine's. I need to be careful what I choose now.
Love or money?
I'm sorry, I need to choose both. I love money and I love love. Aye. So I don't know.
So
it needs to come as a package.
Okay, it comes with a package. Let's see. Okay, Mabeya or Lagos?
Woo!
Yeah, I have to say that. I live in Mabeya, girl.
Mabeya, sorry, Lagos. I love you, but Mabeya, please.
Oh, of course. Mabeya,
I can't live in Mabeya. Sorry, I can live there, but I can obviously stay for a while to visit. I need to be back in my slum, in my Lagos, and fight
the
and
hustle,
make some money.
The blood. Yeah. Oh, yes. That part, I agree. Mabeya is, yes. But we love here, by the way. I love Mabeya, I can't lie. Yes.
Yeah,
but I love
Mabeya.
My Nigeria as well. It's two different things. Well, heels or sneakers?
Oh, sneakers. I'm such
really?
A tomboy.
I always see you on heels. You're always wearing high heels. Literally.
I know, but it's the life I created. It's an image I created on social media. But deep down, this girl is a boy. I'm a tomboy.
Okay. Winter or summer?
I actually like winter fashion, but I'm more of a summer girl because I like my flowery clothes, my bum shorts, my nice trainers and bowler hats and all. But I actually love winter clothing.
Okay, cool. Well, final question, eat in or restaurant?
Oh, definitely. Restaurant. Uh-huh. Definitely. I make sure at least I go to restaurants 3 times in a week. Minimum. Twice in a week.
Okay, that's quite interesting. Well, it's been very interesting getting to know you a little bit. I would love to continue chatting, but our time is running up. But if I let you know, I have a tradition here in the show, which is to say thank you for coming. And it's a beautiful cup here. This is mine, by the way. And this is yours. I'm going to send it over, or I'll bring it to you when I'm coming to Lagos, or you get it when you are in Mabeya, which I know you will soon.
Close to you, so I'll probably send you a message to send you a vibe.
Perfect.
Not my big, I'll be in Europe very soon. So
okay,
send you
great. Let me know, please. That would be perfect. It's really been interesting to have you here, and I can't wait to see you in person. It's nice to e-connect. Thank you for coming. Stay tuned for more of Women's World Show, more interesting stories from amazing women here with us in Women's World Show.